Good morning, Johannes.
Good morning, Johannes. This is case number 18-0145-PT. The prosecutor versus Anton Bertovina.
Right, thank you, Mr. Bertovina. Can you follow the proceedings in your own language?
Yes, I can. Thank you, Your Honor.
Please sit down and good morning to you. Appearances for the prosecution.
Good morning, Your Honor. For the prosecution, Mark McKeon. I'm joined at counsel table by lawyer Sartorio and our case manager, Donica Henry Farley.
Thank you, Mr. Marquin, and good morning to you and your team. Appearances for Gotovina.
Microphone, please. Microphone for counsel.
Morning, Your Honor. Luga Mishadish from Chicago, Illinois, USA, defense counsel for General Gotovina. My fellow counsel, Mr. Kehoe, whom I believe is being issued an order by the registry today to be appointed, was unable to attend this morning. He had traveled back to the United States and wished to express his regrets to the court.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mishadish. Good morning to you. This is the first status conference in this case. The initial appearance of the accused, you will recall, took place on the 12th of December of last year. I presided over that initial appearance myself. Now, pursuant to Rule 65, this of the rules of our rules of procedure and evidence, a status conference needs to be convened periodically within a period of 120 days interval in order to organize exchanges between the parties to ensure the expeditious preparation for trial and to allow the accused to raise issues in relation to the case. Now the agenda for today's status conference is necessarily shorter than one would expect it to be as we go along in the pre-trial phase. And I will deal first with some outstanding motions. There is first and foremost a prosecution motion for non-disclosure to the public of supporting material filed on 11th January 2006. Now, at the time of the filing, you, Mr. Mishadish, had not yet been confirmed as lead counsel to represent the accused. So duty counsel, who had been appointed by the registrar in the meantime, and to whom I wish to express the gratitude and appreciation of the trial chamber for his good work, he requested a stay of this motion until the issue of representation was finally resolved. This request was granted by my trial chamber on the 26th of January. And after the admittance of you as lead counsel, you requested the chamber on the 27th of March, that's barely 2 weeks ago, and you find a response to the motion. You asked the trial chamber basically on the 27th of March to file a response to the motion by the 4th of April. And you recall that I granted that motion, and I am appreciative that you have filed it in time. In fact, I have received your response in relation to this motion, and I will discuss it with my colleagues if necessary, and then I will hand down the decision very shortly. The second, do you wish to add anything on this motion, Mr. McKean?
The only thing I wish to add, Your Honor, is we're currently reviewing the response to see whether we think a reply to it would be necessary, and if we do wish wish to reply to this motion or the other pending motion, we'll seek leave to file a reply with our reply in 7 days, provided under the rules.
Okay, I thank you, Mr. McLean, and please feel free to do that. The second pending motion relates to the prosecution consolidated motion to amend the indictment and for joinder. Now, I need to explain the events here. And then I will be asking you in particular some questions to which I need a pretty clear answer. On the 20th of February, as you recall, the prosecution filed the motion of just mentioned for joinder and to amend the indictment, seeking Heather for a joinder with of your case, Mr. Gotovina, with the case against the accused Charmak and Markac. This case, Charmak and Markac, is also one of the cases entrusted to Trial Chamber 2, although I am not the pre-trial judge in it. At the same time, the prosecution, as I said, sought to amend the indictment in order to conform with the changes in the indictment for the accused Charmak and Markac as a result of preliminary motions filed in this latter case. Since the composition of the pre-trial chamber for the case of Charmak and Markac was a different one as the pre-trial chamber for this case, the president assigned the present pre-trial chamber, consisting of Judge Parker, Judge Van der Weygaard, and myself, as the bench that will decide upon the joinder motion. That's so that we make sure that there is a harmonization between the two cases and one decision that will be uniform for both. On the 7th March, both the accused Charmak and Markac filed their objections to the joinder motion. I don't know if you have become privy to that, if you are aware of it, if you have seen it.
Yes, Your Honor, we were served with a copy of the responses.
Thank you. The prosecution has replied to these responses with its reply of the 13th March. Now, also in relation to this motion, just a couple of days ago, counsel requested for an extension of time to respond until 4th April. As I said, this was granted, and the chamber has received the responses I stated earlier to this motion as well. Now, my problem is the following, Mr. Mizetic. I have gone to your 4th April response to this motion. And it seems to me that although it primarily touches on the issue of the joinder, it does, however, deal with some of the elements of pleading in the indictment. Am I to consider your response on the 4th of April to be a full response also pursuant to Rule 72 of the rules, that is, as a motion in itself challenging defects in the form of the indictment? Or do you still wish to file such a Rule 72 motion? I'm saying this because I consider it useful to take one overall decision relating both to the question of joinder and to the issue of any possible defects in the form of the joinder indictment at the same time.
Mr. Major, to clarify, our response to the motion was actually limited in the sense that it was a response to the Rule 50 aspect of their motion to amend the existing indictment into the proposed joinder indictment. We did not look at it from the perspective of Rule 72. It came to my attention. morning, I believe on Wednesday, that I became concerned that the clock was ticking with respect to our Rule 72 motions, given the 30 days under the rules that we would have to respond. So I contacted the chambers to ask whether I should file a motion to extend that or not. So I guess the short answer is we have not raised any Rule 72 objection at this point. I do wish to clarify, I'm not certain at this point that we have any Rule 72 motions we wish to bring, but I would ask that we be given some time to further consider the issue and see whether we might have any issues either with respect to the form of the indictment or with respect to some jurisdictional issues that we have.
Okay, I thank you so much, Mr. Mizetich. That makes things clear. And I suspected this pretty much to be the case. So the position now is as follows. I'm giving you until Friday, the 21st of April. That is basically a fortnight from today. Time within which to file a motion pursuant to Rule 72 if you so wish.
Just a point of clarification, it's a Rule 72 motion directed at the proposed joint indictment.
Yes, yes, yes.
Thank you very much, and we appreciate the extension of time.
After that, prosecution will have until a week after Friday, 28th of April. One consolidated reply to the filing of the defense which we already have, that is the one filed on the 4th of April, and the possible filing that we might have by the 21st. In other words, on the 28th latest, you will address these two responses, one of which we have, one we are expecting, by means of a consolidated response. Is that clear, Mr. McKean?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Yes, Mr. Mizetich.
I apologize for the interruption. I just wanted a clarification. If we decide not to file a motion under Rule 72 and instead serve the court with a notice that there won't be a motion, would that would it be 7 days for reply from the date of such a notice, or are we keeping the existing time frame?
Well, if tomorrow you file a note indicating that you will not be filing any motion on the pursuant to Rule 72, then obviously I'm going to revise. There's no need to have the 28th of April limit then, because the prosecution has been served with the 4th of April motion in any case already.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Yes, Mr. Mackey.
Your Honor, the only thing that I'm a bit concerned about, first of all, we don't know if there will be a Rule 72 motion, but secondly, if there is, we don't know how extensive it's going to be. Normally, under the rules, we would be given 14 days to respond to such a motion, and I'm a bit concerned, in the absence of knowing what it is that we're responding to, that the time has been cut in short, basically in half to 7 days.
Yes, sir, I understand that, Mr. McKean, but please do understand as well that as regards the response which you have already received on the 4th of April, I take it that you have started working on that, and that in any case you should be ready with your response on that within either 7 or 14 days for that matter. We won't have any response any motion from the defense pursuant to Rule 72, there is no reason why you shouldn't be prepared to file your response for the 4th April within 14 days from the 4th of April. So let's make that clear. If instead of that we do have a Rule 72 motion, and it is more complicated than either you or I may have expected, and there is need for a further 7 days,
I will, of course, consider such a request even when it is made. But I wouldn't like to preempt any issues on the matter. I mean, the way I see it, if there is a reasonable to motion, I think 7 days from that day to answer it should be enough. If there are not enough, we will consider any further request that you may have. If there is no Rule 72 motion, there is no reason why on the 18th of April you shouldn't be able to produce the your response for the 4th April motion, the defense motion. It's a poor response, Your Honor. Did I make myself clear?
You did, Your Honor.
Yeah, I think I would expect it to be reasonable, and please take it for granted that I and my chamber will also be reasonable. So, that disposes of the motions that I have pending. Now, disclosure. Under Rule 66A1, pursuant to this sub-rule, the prosecutor should make available to the defense in a language which the accused understands, and within 30 days of the initial appearance of the accused, copies of the supporting materials which accompanied the indictment when confirmation was sought, as well as all prior statements obtained by the prosecution from the accused. The chamber understands that, and I need a confirmation from you on this, the chamber understands that such supporting material has been disclosed, and that counsel for the accused has received all files upon assignment to this case. So, let's start with you, Mr. McKean. You confirm that you have fulfilled this phase of, or this category of disclosure?
Yes, Your Honor. On January 11th, 2006, we disclosed the original supporting materials in this case. The only thing that I want to add to that is there is the pending motion on the reactions, and so that we didn't essentially make that motion moot, we have redacted, as we requested in the motion, the supporting materials, but of course if that motion is denied, then we would redisclose them without the redactions.
Right. Thank you. And Mr. Mizetich, do you confirm that you have received the documents prosecution was under obligation to disclose under this summer?
Yes, I have, Your Honor. I received on the 22nd of March from Mr. Knopf's the supporting materials that he received from the prosecution.
Thank you so much. Now, the other category of documents to be disclosed for the source regulated by Rule 66A2, pursuant to which the prosecutor shall make available to the defense in the language which the accused understands copies of the statements of all witnesses the prosecution intends to call to testify at trial, as well as copies of all written statements taken in accordance with Rule 92 bis of the rules within the time limit prescribed by chamber or the pre-trial judge. Now, I suppose you will about agree with me that we are still in the very early stages of the pre-trial stage, and no deadlines have been set for the time being. In accordance with Rule 65, D2, together with my senior legal officer, a work plan will be established for the further pre-trial preparations on this case. In the meantime, I am joining you, Mr. McKean, to keep this as a non-working, this category of disclosures are non-working, on ongoing obligation on your part, starting making yourself ready, putting yourself ready for when it is necessary for us to establish a deadline. In other words, I would expect you to have already started working on this. Much depends also on whether there will be a joinder or not, because obviously if there is no joinder, the situation may change a little bit. Prior to the next status conference, my senior legal officer will be instructed by me to convene another 65-hour conference, at which the work plan that we would have conceived will be elaborated in consultation with both of you. Mr. McKean, may I ask you, at this stage, although I myself am not sitting in the deadlines, and I acknowledge that we are still in the early stages of the case, may I ask you at what stage you yourself or your office has arrived in preparing for Rule 66A to disclosure?
Yes, Your Honor. We essentially have been sitting on the disclosure awaiting the appointment of counsel. We have basically everything that's already been disclosed in the Chernak case, which we're ready to put on the EDS system in this case. I think at this point the person in our office, the staff member who is responsible for maintaining the custody of these records and the record keeping, is away until after Easter, but I expect that right after Easter we will be putting a large amount of material on the EDS that include some of the witness statements.
Okay. I thank you so much for your cooperation, Mr. McKean. Are there comments from your side on this category of disclosures, Mr. Vizetich?
Take the word of my colleagues on the other side that it will be available after the 18th. I just wasn't sure whether that disclosure was in any way contingent upon the trial chamber's ruling on the motion for non-disclosure that OTP had filed. In
to understand, but to a minor extent, I would say.
Okay, thank you.
Now, finally, Rule 68, 1 and 2 disclosures. Have you already started disclosing or finished disclosing Rule 68 material, both paragraphs of Rule 68, the exculpatory one and the other one?
Your Honor, that will be included in the materials that we disclose within the next couple of weeks.
Okay. Thank you. According to me, there shouldn't be any further business to transact this morning, unless I see an indication from you that you would like to raise additional matters. I see none. All right. So, Mr. Gotovina, the rules. The rules require me to ask you whether you would like to raise any matter relating to your health, physical or mental, as well as to the state of your detention, in other words, how you're being treated at the detention unit of the tribunal. If there's anything you'd like to raise, please do it now. This is one of the reasons why we hold periodical status conferences, so that you are given the opportunity to come face-to-face with the pretrial judge and speak with all liberty, knowing that you will receive all the attention and all the protection that you need from me. Mr. Governor.
Your Honor, I have no problems. Thank you for asking. Everything is in order.
All right, thank you, Mr. Governor. So that brings to an end today's status conference. Should there be any problems or matters that need to be addressed to between this status conference and the next, you will be, of course, approached by my senior legal officer. I will be dealing with the outstanding motions with the utmost severity. Of course, everything has to be decided in conjunction with the Charnock and Margaret case, so that there will probably be a decision for both this someone contemporaneously, and then we'll take it up from there. Right? Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to...